Father God, we thank you for what we heard and what we're going to be hearing. Prepare our heart and let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. In your name I pray, amen. What I will be sharing with you actually today in this session is how to understand the Muslim mindset. At the same time, how to share the gospel effectively with Muslims. And then the other two session is going to be talking, and yesterday, Brother Dave and also John kind of touched in this area, is what the church is doing and how we can, as a church, face Islam. And this is one of the hardest, actually, topic to talk about, actually, not this session, but the other two session. And the other two session, actually, the session I can relate to Brother Dave. You're not the only one here in trouble. It's one got me in trouble in California and New York. But after that the Lord helped me to get the church to understand how to face Islam. This one is mainly to understand the Muslim mindset and also, as I said, how to share your faith with them. How many of you agree about this statement in the screen here? Amen. And as I shared with you last night, this is the reason I'm a Christian today, because it's somebody took the time and the effort to get involved in my life. There's five things we need to know about Islam. Number one, and I need to set the stage here, and I said a little bit about it yesterday in my testimony, their faith is different from yours. Please don't pretend there is any similarity between Islam and the Old Testament and the New Testament. Their God, Allah, is different from our God. Jesus in Islam is not the Jesus that we have. Moses, Abraham, Joseph, all this character that we have in the Bible are not similar. If I give you a little bit example, for instance, like Joseph. We have Joseph that he flee from the sin. In Islam, he yield to the sin. Adam was allowed to be named the animal and all the creature. God has given him that privilege. In Islam, that he named all this creature and all the animals to tease the angels. So there's a lot of differences between both of them. And Islam is not an Abrahamic belief. Because it starts there from Abraham. Abraham about to sacrifice in the Old Testament, Isaac. In Islam is Ishmael. So if we took Ishmael, take all your prophecy, take all the Old Testament, throw it in the garbage, and we're done. So from the beginning, I will tell you this, they're not similar. For the Muslim, you cannot separate their culture from their faith. So the way they talk, the way they eat, the way they kill other people, the way they deal with their wives and women and all kind of things is part of the religion and the culture. So if you meet a Muslim today and he said, oh, he's not a right Muslim, the way he treat the woman or the way they go, or the fundamentalists or the terrorists, and they said, no, this is not one of us. Yes, it's one of you. So my question is to you here. Is your faith separate from your culture? And the second question, what is your culture? It's for you to answer. The other thing is, They're proud of the language and the culture. And this is one of the areas that we have a hard time to convince or to convert Muslim to Christianity. When I became a Christian, actually, they asked me not to speak Arabic anymore, because Arabic is the language of the Quran. I'm supposed to not to apply anymore our culture. The other things, faith is not a choice in Islam. It's a part of their heritage. So you are born a Muslim. I am married, I have two children, and when my family and my people get to know that I got the children, they want to take them because my children are Muslims. I am the one I choose not to become a Muslim or to reject Islam. So they believe that my kids is still Muslim, and they, actually we have number of attempt that the firstborn is a girl, Josephine. There were a lot of attempt to be kidnapped. And when the Muslim, they hear your testimony, when I became a Christian and you're born in a Christian home, they're surprised. How come you're not a Christian? So you need to understand this, because their mindset is different totally. The Muslim, they think that the culture of the West is Christianity. So the way that the Western people are behaving and conducting their life and all the things, this is Christianity. Why? Because of four things. Number one is the spread of Christianity. Of course, it started by the apostle, and then by the European, and then by the colony. And Sudan is a British colony. And one of the things that in my country we're rejecting, or the North, they're rejecting Christianity because of what the British did to us in Sudan. And the second thing is the Western world, as they send all these Christian workers around the world. So they try to spread the Western world culture and ideology. In our ministry, we avoid using the word Christianity. Instead, we are using that because, sorry, I'm ahead of myself here. I'm just like you here. They see in the Western world as Christian is a corrupt, and there is no respect for the Western world. The area you are in here, the Northeast, actually this is my mission field. By the way, I want to welcome you to my mission field. So there are a lot of Muslim actually around us. If you go to Marlborough Mall, the second language there is Arabic. So you'll see a lot of Arab people around here at the mall. And when they see the Western people there, they don't have really respect for them. In our ministry, we avoid using the word Christianity. Instead, we use the word, we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I go around and I tell them I'm a Christian, immediately they said, oh, you agree with Bush, and you agree with that, and you agree with this, and it's become so political, the conversation. But when I told them that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, what do you mean by that? And I'll start to tell them about who Jesus is and what he done to my life. Most of the Christian in Middle East, sometimes they don't use the word Christianity, but they use the word, we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be kind of just avoiding talking about politics. How about the gospel? It's a very dangerous, the gospel, in the Islamic world. There is no respect for the gospel. It's been changed, and because of making Jesus God, and also the word Son of God, and I'm going to talk more about the insider movement and what's happened at later on in the other session. But the gospel is very dangerous, and we try to customize the gospel so they can understand it. And the gospel cannot be customize, or compromise. And we're going to talk about this even more. But for them, the gospel is dangerous. It's a crime for a person to change his or her religion. This is why, when I shared my testimony yesterday, I was sentenced to death and I was put in prison. By the way, there are many converts around the world who are in an Islamic country. They will be put immediately in prison and killed because it's a crime to change your belief. Islam didn't give any room for any changes. In fact, the Jewish is written about them in the Quran. They're pigs and apes, monkeys. And in one of the debate in Detroit, when I mentioned this, and it was supposed to be an interfaith dialogue, it's turned to a debate, and one of the Jewish asked, why you Muslim hate us so much? And one of the sheikh, he said, no, we don't hate you, and all these things. I said, stop lying. Your own book, he said, that they're pigs and apes. So God, your Allah, is insulting them. So what other things you need? And Christianity is not the right religion. So it didn't give any really room for the Muslim to think about other belief than Islam. I'm going to give you a lower percentage. 80% of the Muslim around the world are doubting Islam. But they don't have any other choices except Islam. Because how Islam presents other belief. This is one of the risks the person that can consider for the Muslim convert. Number one, they have to deny their culture. Number two, the community. So the minute that the Muslim convert closes his eyes or her eyes and say, Jesus, come to my heart, you're out of the community. Physical, you can be put to death. And also, you'll not have any means of living. I have witnessed it with my own eyes that Muslims have converted. They will go and burn their shops. They will get kicked out of their jobs. You're not part of us anymore. And they know about it. What some of the cost is a different view of life, different way of thinking, and different standard of behavior. I said this to the churches wherever I go and speak in different churches and conferences. One Muslim convert will take the whole energy of the church because of their life, because of their thinking and their behavior. You're kind of doing a total renovation or total changes in the life of the Muslim converts. Islam is not only a religion, but also is a nation. It's full of politics. Islam is not want to just to change you to become a Muslim. Islam want to conquer the whole world. And they're doing this very, very hard. And they're doing it with violence, with lie. I'm going to talk about the different lie that the Muslim, they say to the Western world. Just a note. Islam in the Islamic country and Middle East is weakening. Bad news is getting strong in the Western world. Because the Western world, they haven't opened their eyes yet to see the danger of Islam. Within one name, that Islam, there are many differences. Number one is politic. And this is one of the blessings actually we have. Because we got all these Muslim nations, especially Middle East, where I come from, they cannot agree together. And that's one of the blessings. If they get to agree and unite it, we're doomed. So some of them, they're with the United States, like Saudi Arabia, the Wahhabi, they bow to United States. Where you have North Africa, they hate United States. You have the Gulf world, like Qatar or Doha, they're against the Western world. And even they're funding the Western world. They're with the Muslim Brotherhood and the fundamentalists. Where you have Kuwait, they're with the Western world. So in politics, they're different. So when you talk to them, avoid politics. Because you don't know where they stand. The other things is ethnic. In ethnic and culture, we're all different. We're not the same. So when you talk to a Muslim, they're not, the Lebanese is not like the Jordanian. The Sudanese are not like the Egyptian. The Saudi, they're not like the Yemeni. They're all different. Their culture is totally different. The other things is the religion. Islam has 800 sects. We used to be accused that we are, the most people are divided are the Christian. No, it's the Muslim. I've been in one of the city, they were a Baptist church and there was a Methodist church. And I asked them, after the prayer, will you go and curse the Methodists? Or buy guns to gun down the Methodists as they go out of the church? They said, no, we don't do that. I said, in Islam, we do that. In fact, you can know the Shiite are killing the Sunni, and the Sunni are killing the Shiite, and then we have the largest mosque here in Calgary, the Ahmadiyya Mosque. It's a Sunni cult, and they've been exiled out of their country. In fact, they will be killed. Their holy man is living in London. You have the Ismaili are being slaughtered in the street of Pakistan. And all they're against each other. The culture, I talked about it, and the language. By the way, not all Arabs are Muslim. And not all Muslims are Arabs. We have a lot of country that they have a root go back to some of the name in the Old Testament in Jordan, in Syria, in Lebanon, in fact, even in Yemen and in Morocco. We have Arab Christian around in the Middle East. And also we have Muslims who doesn't speak Arabic, like in Pakistan, Indonesia, Malaysia, and some of the African countries. Our ministry is a long-term commitment. To accomplish anything, you must commit time and effort. One of the things we use to win Muslims to the Lord is a genuine friendship. We do a lot of visitation, caring in holidays, Bible study, and in the Bible study, we ask them to get an advice. They don't believe in the Old Testament, only in the Torah and the book of Psalms. In the New Testament, they don't believe in the Gospel of Mark, Luke, and John. They believe only in the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew, they believe only on 3 chapters. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Which is the Sermon in the Mount. They think Paul is the most liar ever been created in the world. So they don't like all the letters of Paul and the rest of the Bible. This is why we ask to get advice when you share the gospel with them. The other things, as I said, one Muslim convert will take the energy of the whole church is to adopt a new believer and to accept them in. Because they're kicked out of their home, they're being persecuted, They don't have any way to go except to the church. The highest convert among the Muslims around the world are the women. Nationality, the highest number of converts are from Iran, because they were oppressed. The women, they don't know where to go. And we have some of the churches, it's all full with all of single mothers. Five things you need to know. Love and pray for them. According to Isaiah 2, you need to pray for the Spirit of the Lord for them and for you as you witness to them. You need to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for understanding. You need to pray for counsel. You need to pray for the power of God. And you need to pray for knowledge. And you need to pray for the fear, which is the respect of God. You need to pray for yourself and for the people that you're witnessing to. One of the highest welfare you can ever experience by being in a Muslim ministry. The other things we communicate, Christ. You will tell them we want to help you to discover the truth. One of the prayers in Islam with all these 100 sects, there is one phrase unite all of them together. At the end of the prayer, they will lift their hand and they will say in Arabic, Arina al-haqqa haqqa, show us the truth and the ultimate truth. If you start, I have the truth with any Muslim, they will open their ear for you. I don't want you to become like me. I want to introduce the Lord Jesus to you and you to him. I don't want you to become a Western, a Canadian, or European, or American. I don't want you to become a Pentecostal, or a Baptist, or whatever denomination you're coming from. It's only Christ. And this is one of the things that we are carrying as Muslim converts to our churches, especially to the churches that we came from in Middle East. There's a lot of division, by the way, from our churches in Middle East. The new Christian, the convert, actually, they're bringing a special flavor to the church. Because we don't belong to anybody except Christ. Of course, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Lord Jesus as the natural part of your life. Last week, I was in Sherbrooke in Quebec. I was speaking in a church there. And this lady was dating a Muslim man. And he was arguing with me, and she brought him to the church or to the conference when she heard that I'm speaking there. And she tried to convert him and to all these kind of things. And I told her, there is one thing. You will help this young man. Is Jesus Christ is a natural part of your life? Does he see Jesus in you? How do you behave around him? Because I saw them in the meeting, like I noticed he's a Muslim. They were hugging, holding hands, and all these kind of things. I told her, in Islam and in the Arabic culture, this is bad. So you're telling him that is allowed in Christianity. Your body belonged to him even before marriage. She started crying. The other thing is, we use Christmas and Easter to a full advantage. I don't need to talk much about it because you know what Christmas become and Easter. Christ is not there at all. We need to explain to them what Christmas is and what is Easter is. We don't compromise and we don't criticize. One of the things that I do wherever I go, in fact, the most person that speaks in mosques and in Islamic conferences is me. They keep inviting me because I will never compromise my faith. But at the same time, I don't criticize. We need to separate a biblical truth and a personal choice. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is a biblical truth. Attending whatever church you are in is a personal choice. We need to be firm, but not fanatic. Sometimes we add so fanatic, worse even than Hamas and Hezbollah. We need to handle criticism. They will criticize you for who you are. We need to be understandable and also humble. We need to listen to what they're saying because you don't know what sect they're coming from, what political background they're from. The other things, don't criticize Christian. I used to have a radio program and I still have it in Edmonton. And it's a CKER. It's for an ethnic radio, all kind of ethnic group. They're there, different religion. I go and record every Wednesday. It's a pre-recorded program. And then the Muslim, usually they record after me. And we get in a lot of discussion when I leave the production room. And a few years back, the sheikh came and early, and he was waiting for me to finish recording, and he had this newspaper, and he threw it literally in my face. My glasses kind of fly out. I told him, what is all about? This is when the Anglican Church, and if it's anybody from the Anglican Church, excuse me here, but this one, the Anglican Church approved the homosexual lifestyle. And he said, is this Christianity? I opened my Bible, the book of Romans. I handed Paul, the chapter 1, and I asked him to read. He said, they're against the Bible. I told him, it's not my business against the Bible or not, but this is my teaching. Because the minute if I criticize them, immediately he's going to defute Christianity totally. But I didn't defend them at the same time. This number 22 actually is applied to you but not to me. Sorry. Avoid debating. And this is a confession. I keep telling the people don't debate, but I'm an apologetics and I keep debating a lot. But debating has been a lifestyle for them. It's to put you down. It's to show you that your belief is not right. And I have this problem with debating. Sometimes I listen only to myself. The other things, it's create conflict. It's to generate pride. Who is going to win the debate? And also never promote friendship. And this is why some of them, they don't like me. But because of my background and where I came from, this is why I debate. And many of them, actually, they call me for debate. And so sometimes I have to do it. But in your normal life, witnessing, try to avoid debating. Just listen to what they're saying to you. We do respect their culture, tradition, and belief. We don't try to insult them. But at the same time, I will not get away from the truth. Ask to learn about their history and culture. And that will help you to understand how to communicate the gospel with them. You need to go overboard by respecting their culture and belief. Because they're victim. And you need to understand why and what happened to them. Never contradict. say that interesting. If somebody will come to you, I beat up my wife, they, oh, that's interesting. But I have a solution for that. One of the things I get invited to Islamic conferences and to mosque, and I still the door kind of open because I respect myself. I don't make fool of myself. The other things, I am very honest about what I believe in. And the same time is to be polite. I used to have my office here in downtown Calgary. I moved my office and I used to take the C train. And one time I was sitting in the C train there, and there this Muslim Pakistani sitting beside me, and we started to talk, and he noticed my accent, so he asked me where I'm from. I said, I'm a Sudanese Arab. And he said, oh, you're a Muslim. I said, no, I'm not a Muslim. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just started fire on me. How come you call him the Son of God? How come you do this? How come? And he was just too much. I said, mister, you don't know me, and I don't know you. You should respect what I believe. It's just what Brother David said to us a few minutes ago. And I told him, you know, I respect your belief. I'm not going to tell you that Muhammad is a liar because I respect you. He said, oh, thank you. And I told him, I'm not going to tell you Muhammad is a woman either because I respect you. He said, thank you. And I told him, I'm not going to tell you that Muhammad is a murderer because I respect you. He said, thank you. And I'm not going to tell you Muhammad, and I give it to him all of it. And he said, keep saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I was polite. In conclusion, in this area is any meaningful dialogue with your cousin. We call them cousin in our ministry because when they believe in Jesus Christ, they will become brothers and sisters. Needs to start by walking with them, listening to them, and asking them questions. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did in the road to Emmaus. I'm going to share with you 5 concepts. How much do I have? All right, thank you. The theological icebreaker in Islam is 2. One of them is 10%, we call it theory. And 90% is popular belief and practice. The theory, I don't know if you heard this word before, we call it fatwa. What is the fatwa? If something is not written in the Quran or the Hadith, the book of tradition, that they will kind of try to make something up with it. For instance, one of the things that the Muslim in the Western world is struggling with, should they put a Christmas light or not? So they go to the sheikh or the imam and they ask him what we should do, and then he will release a fatwa. That's a theory. No, you're not supposed to do it. Or if they're from the Ahmadiyya, they said, oh, so they can respect us, put your Christmas light. So different sects, they have different theory and different fatwa. The things I'm going to just to run a little bit fast here. I'm going to share with you 5 concepts. Their concept about God. So you can see that their God and our God is not the same God. The God is a judge, unknowable, unpredictable, unresponsive to human crisis. You cannot ever say God is my father. He doesn't relate to us. Where we found in Christianity is a loving father, he's a seeker, deliverer, hero, and savior, and faithful and true to his word and forgiving. Amen. So this is our God. And of course, you need to communicate the gospel. Please don't use any other terminology out of the Bible. Don't use the Trinity like the sun, the heat, and the whatever, the light. Don't use any other example outside, like sermon illustration. You have to use your Bible. I remember in England, London, we were in one of the parks doing outreach. And I saw one of our team is in trouble. From far away, I can see one of the Muslims is using his hand, and he looked like our man. He looked like he's in trouble or something like that. So I ran across the park to see what's going on. And he was asking him one question as he was sharing Christ with him. What your Bible is saying? What your book is saying? And one of the things in our ministry, you have to get to know your Bible very well. If you don't know your Bible, you don't have a devotion, you don't have a prayer time, please don't witness to any one of them. Get to know your Bible. We have a lot of converts from Christianity to Islam because they don't know their Bible. 2 weeks ago, I was teaching at Amherst University here to some of the youth ministry worker. And I told them, your youth ministry is kaput. It's out. Because your program is three things in your church, in the youth. Fun night, movie night, popcorn night. There is no Bible night. This is why most of our young people are converting to Islam, and there are many, by the way. So you have to get to know your Bible. The other thing is, the other concept, the concept of sin. In Islam, sin is a mistaken choice or a slip of memory. In Islam, it's God's fault. In Islam, it's justifiable. And our brother have the scale yesterday. Where is John? He have the scale yesterday. It's about good deeds. And the only way for the Muslim to go to paradise, to their own paradise, is by good deeds. If your good deeds is better than your bad deeds, you go in. But until now, nobody knows if they're going to get in or not. I'm going to speak about this very quickly. Sin in Christianity is measurable by God's law. Is a result of our choice, an offense against God, and wiped only by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, that when he died on the cross, he died for our sin. And he raised victoriously. The only way we can get rid of our sin. And we have all this example. Sorry, I'm going a little bit fast here. The definition of faith, accepting and acting upon what God said. Faith in Islam is to keep the rules. Trying to do the ritual. Knowing the fact and defending them. That means just defending Islam. Some of them, they couldn't keep the rules on the ritual. They will go and try to defend Islam and lie about Islam. That will get them to heaven. And again, doing as much as possible good. In our faith is different. Faith is response to God. Faith is a personal relationship with God. Faith is a life transforming. And faith, light heart and mind. Is that happened to you? Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The concept of forgiveness, and this is why I'm a Christian today. In Islam, God forgiveness has no objective base. Impossible to know. Certain amount of forgiveness will be achieved by good deeds. No one, God or human, grantee forgiveness. No one. Forgiveness, in our belief, forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness has an objective base, and forgiveness is offered to everyone. Forgiveness is a life transforming. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do I have to pull it?
Yeah.
And the last one is eternal life. And actually, this is the most part that God has helped me to bring Muslim to the Lord because of the eternal life. Unknown and uncertain. Even Muhammad himself, by the way, doesn't know if he's going to go to paradise or not. There is a verse in the Quran, وَلَا أَنَا وَارِدُهَا. Even me, I'm not sure. The only hope he gives is a Muslim that in the day of judgment, he's going to ask permission to enter to God's presence. According to his thinking, if the angels allow him to go to God's presence, he's going to ask God if he can remain in paradise. And if God said, oh, Muhammad, you're a very nice man. You can stay here. And then he's going to ask for another question. Can I bring my people with me? And this is the only hope the Muslim have. The only hope. And we know for sure he's not going to go there. So there's no hope for them. It's physical and sensual. The only things I say to describe paradise in Islam, Las Vegas is most holy than paradise in Islam. It's a holy place. If you go to Las Vegas, it's the most holy place. Comparing to what the Quran written about paradise. You know about the only, some of you, you know about the 72 virgin is going to give to man. This is very simple, by the way. This is the easiest one. There's more things inside there you don't need to know. And with the respect of you and this assembly, and also for the ladies here, I'm not going to mention it. The filthiest place you can ever think of. Everything is forbidden here, is allowed up there. Anything. Everything. So the most filthiest place, projected in the future. You can be the, you can pray your five prayer, you can fast Ramadan, you can memorize the Quran, you can go and bomb Jewish and Christian, you can do all these things. And then God will say, oh, sorry, you're not in. And when I say God, I say Allah. And again, is to be gained by good deeds. So one of the things is to, like we have this eternal life in Christianity. And I don't need to explain it much to you. In conclusion here, you need to pray and pray and pray. If anything for the Muslim ministry is to pray. Because they're in darkness. They don't know the truth. We don't pressure, we don't use technique, we don't do threatening or manipulation. We move in their speed. It took me over 40 years to come and to say, yes, I want Jesus. Because of all the things that I got in my childhood about Islam, and the belief, and the emotion, and the culture. And after I became a Christian, it took me over 5 years to get rid of everything that I learned in Islam. I was still Christian. I still needed to get rid of it. And many Muslims, actually, 95% of the Muslim convert, they go back to Islam. And this is one of the trouble we have in the ministry. A few of them, they remain because they're still soaked in Islam. And I'm going to share with you how is demonic that religion is in the afternoon. By using the Bible, they will start to, their progress is start to be verbalizing biblical concept. And this is why we encourage you, use only the Bible. Recite the scripture in front of them. And that will help them to think more and more. Bringing Muslims to the Lord is one of the greatest blessings. By the way, we have over 1 million converts now in the world. We have many Muslims are coming to know the Lord. Through our TV program and through our radio ministry and also the ministry in the ground. I don't want you to feel that there is no hope. Yes, there is hope. But we need to pray more and more. We have one obstacle in front of the Muslim. It's not the persecution. Is not the killing. In fact, in our conferences, the MBB, we call ourselves MBB, not a Mennonite background believer, is a Muslim background believer. We kind of posting, I've been in the prison for this time, I've been beaten up, and some of them, their toes is not there. He said, oh, for Christ, like, we are proud that of the persecutions. In fact, sometimes we tell them, don't pray that we will be released because we get more blessing as get beaten inside there. But the most obstacle, and I'm going to shock you here. The most obstacle for the Muslim to come to know the Lord is not the persecution, and it's not Islam. It's us. If we pray enough, if we demonstrate Christ enough, if we live Christ enough, I believe it's going to be a different. We need to see Christ in our churches and in our life. And that's where will make us come. First time I went to Tel Aviv, actually, I was hugged by Rabbi and other. We were doing the ministry there. I told him, 20 years ago or before 20 years ago, if I saw you in front of me, it will be my lucky day. I have a Jewish in front of me, I'll just let your neck out. But I'm glad I'm in change. I'm a Christian today. When the Muslim convert come to know the Lord, and those who remain, and by the way, most of the ministry now, the Christian ministry among the Arabs, in TV, in ground, in outreach, in all these things, is led by Muslim convert. Can you believe that? Most of the churches, the pastors are Muslim convert. They're sold totally for Christ. There is hope, and they're working. Continue to pray.